The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
One of the most common questions religious people ask is, have you been saved? Perhaps a well-meaning friend has asked you that question. How did you answer? Frankly, the standard teaching and the common belief by most Christians concerning the matter of being religiously saved is totally inadequate and misleading. You need to know the truth. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames asked, have you been saved? And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. The question of life and death is vital to all of us. Perhaps that's why some well-meaning religious people will try to help you from the sobering possibility of eternal death. And they'll ask you, have you been saved? For some people, that's an embarrassing question. Others feel it's a question below their intelligence. But when it comes to human survival, international leaders and statesmen are willing to face the threat of nuclear annihilation. In 1961, President John F. Kennedy appeared before the United Nations. He stated, mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind. Today, every inhabitant of this planet must contemplate the day when this planet may no longer be habitable. Together we shall save our planet, or together we shall perish in its flames. The threat of nuclear war has not vanished. We even face greater threats of biological and chemical warfare. These are serious realities, and we all want to be saved from total destruction. If you have a Bible, and we always encourage you to join us on this program with your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Here's the famous Olivet prophecy. It's called that because Jesus delivered these prophecies on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. Here Jesus warned us of dangerous times ahead, of wars, earthquakes, and deadly diseases. He warned us of mass destruction and the ultimate disaster. Matthew 24 and verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Here's a future event prophesied as unique in all history. And we know that there will be a future Armageddon, as outlined in the book of Revelation. Human beings are headed for a World War III and total oblivion. Nations and peoples have not yet learned one of the greatest lessons of history. That lesson is, human governments and institutions apart from the government of God and the way of God will only bring upon us all total cosmicide, total destruction. We as the human race need rescuing from death and oblivion. And thank God, those days will be shortened as Jesus promised in Matthew 24 and verse 22. Now, given the sobering reality of the future, no one should be embarrassed to ask about spiritual salvation. So what about you? Will you be saved spiritually? Will you be dead for all eternity at the end of this life? Or will you live for all eternity in splendor and majesty and joy beyond your wildest dreams? First of all, we need to ask the question, what do you need to be saved from? Well, now, one of the answers is obvious. You and I need to be saved from death. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews, the 9th chapter. In spite of some extreme dreams of science, there's no way you can avoid death. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. We need to be saved from death, not only the physical death, but the judgment of eternal death in a lake of fire as revealed in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. Contrary to what is commonly taught, the wicked do not burn as immortal souls forever in hellfire. They are consumed. They are burned up and destroyed, as Jesus said in Matthew, the 10th chapter. If you'll turn there to Matthew 10 and verse 28. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Yes, Jesus is much more powerful. God is much more powerful than many religions teach. They don't believe Jesus. They don't believe God is able to destroy souls. But the truth is, God is able to destroy both the body and soul in hell, or in Gehenna, as it is in the original Greek. The hell spoken of here in Matthew 10 is the lake of fire described in Revelation 20. Revelation 20 and verse 14. Then death and Hades, meaning the grave, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible states that this is the second death, an eternal death from which there is no resurrection. We'll discuss the full topic of hell in some future program. In fact, if there are some topics you'd like to suggest, please feel free to write us at the address which will be given at the end of the program. So, what do you need to be saved from? From the penalty of eternal death from which there is no resurrection. And what is the cause of that penalty? The answer is one of the most fundamental truths in the Bible. And you should know this verse by heart. It's Romans 6, verse 23. Turn to Romans 6 and verse 23. Be sure to mark this verse. Even pray about it. Think about it in relation to your own life and the nature of all human beings for that matter. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What you earn by your conduct, your thoughts, your way of living is death forever. But God has a plan of salvation. He wants to give us the gift of eternal life. And that gift can only come to us through the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. In the dramatic days following the establishment of the New Testament church, the Apostle Peter made a powerful statement. Turn into your Bible to Acts, the 3rd chapter. Realize there are false messiahs that are preached in the world. So you need to discover the true Messiah, the true Christ of the Bible. God performed a great miracle of healing a man lame from birth. The apostles Peter and John were at the temple where a lame man begged for money. Then Peter said to him in Acts 3 and verse 6, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The man who had never walked before began leaping and walking. This great healing performed through the authority of Jesus' name gave the apostles even more opportunity to preach the gospel. The temple authorities didn't care for the attention the people gave the apostles, so they called them before the Sanhedrin, or the council of elders and rulers. And this is how the apostle Peter responded, Acts 4 and verse 9. "If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." As Peter proclaimed, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So it's up to you to discover the true Jesus of the Bible. Read about him in the Gospels. Read the first four books of the New Testament. And if you do it with an open mind, you'll discover a different Jesus than that commonly presented to the world. My friends, the Jesus of the Bible did not do away with the Ten Commandments. The Jesus of the Bible did not do away with the way of life based on the law of God. It is the law of love, but it must be obeyed, not denigrated and denounced as some false preachers are doing. Jesus taught from the Scriptures, the Hebrew Scriptures, which were the only inspired writings of his time. The New Testament had not even been written. Jesus taught in Matthew, the 4th chapter, and verse 4, and also in Luke 4, and verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And that is a quote from the Old Testament, actually, Deuteronomy 8, and verse 3. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. But be sure you know that it's the true Jesus of your Bible. Now, so far on this program, we've covered several scriptures, and you probably would like to review them. We'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program so you can study these biblical principles more thoroughly at your own convenience. Just call or write for your free copy of Have You Been Saved? There's no cost, no obligation. There's no more important subject than that of your own future and that of your loved ones. Call or write today for your free audio cassette entitled Have You Been Saved?
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free without any cost or obligation if you call 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
On the first part of our program, we saw that the world is headed for a great tribulation. Jesus warned that no flesh would be saved unless God intervenes. The good news is that Jesus will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He'll save humanity from itself. God has a great plan of salvation. In the nearly 6,000 years of recorded history, God is allowing humans to experiment with every form of government, business, science, industry, education, entertainment, and even religion. It will only be when God Himself comes to rescue humanity from its selfish institutions and its destructive inventions that humanity will have to admit there must be a better way. And that better way is the way taught in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." As we pointed out earlier, we all need to be saved from the wages of sin. And what are the wages we've earned from sin? Death. Death for all eternity, consumed in a lake of fire. But as we pointed out in Romans 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus, "our Lord." There is hope. There is good news. Perhaps you're familiar with the golden verse of the Bible, also called the most precious verse, John 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." That's the King James Version. Yes, Jesus came into the world to save the world. I hope we all realize the world needs saving. And God has a wonderful plan of salvation. That plan was instituted from the beginning. God realized that humans would sin. How did He know that? Because He gave us, free moral agency. That is, the ability to choose right, or the ability to choose wrong, or to choose sin. Guess what? Every single human being has sinned, except the Savior Himself. You have sinned. I have sinned. We've all earned the death penalty. But Jesus, the Son of God, paid that penalty for us. Sin separates one from God. Now, God spoke to us through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear." God will not hear the prayers of an unrepentant practicing sinner. But He will help sinners who want to turn around and go the other way. Remember the parable of the publican and the Pharisee in Luke, the 18th chapter? The Pharisee was self-righteous, but the publican, or the tax collector, admitted he was a sinner. Let's read that in Luke 18 and verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So the publican or tax collector humbled himself in his sinful state, and he prayed. God heard his prayer because he was repentant. He was willing to admit he was a sinner, and he was willing to change. I hope you have that same attitude. God will extend mercy to those who are repentant sinners. Sin separates us from God, but it's the payment of your death by Jesus himself that reconciles us to God. Notice that in Romans, the 5th chapter, Romans 5 and verse 8, a very important section you should have marked in your Bible. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't our goodness that brought about reconciliation or forgiveness. You know, I just found an old letter I wrote back in 1965. My wife and I were conducting a baptizing tour in the western part of the United States. We had traveled about 2,300 miles from California to Missouri. We baptized several on the way, but there was a common characteristic among those we had counseled for baptism. Here's what I wrote. There was a trend of individuals not having repented of the self, of not seeing the rotten human nature in us. Many especially seemed to feel that they had been good all their lives. In other words, they hadn't come to see their own sinful state. As Jesus said in Luke 5 and verse 31, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Those who think they're righteous see no need for repentance and change. But those who have come to really see their sinfulness can ask God for a spirit of repentance. They can ask to be reconciled to God. Now, perhaps you yourself would like to counsel about baptism. We have ministers in the United States and Canada and other countries around the world. So just write to us at the address that will be given at the end of the program. How then can we be reconciled to God? Romans 5 and verse 8 once again. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now notice this very important point. We're reconciled and justified by the death of Christ, but we shall be saved, that's future tense, by his life. So if someone asks you, have you been saved? The answer should be that your past sins have been forgiven. And your ultimate salvation is yet future. Jesus also confirmed this in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Yes, salvation has a past, a present, and a future application. As I said in the beginning of the program, the standard teaching of the common belief by most Christians concerning the matter of religiously being saved is totally inadequate and misleading. Christianity is a lifetime experience. We shall be saved by his life, and he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved, as it states in the King James Version. In the meantime, we have the opportunity to grow in spiritual character, in spiritual maturity, in learning to love our neighbors and to love our enemies. The Apostle Peter states it this way in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. It takes a lifetime to learn to live the way of divine love. God gives us a lifetime to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We're to become more like Christ. He set us an example of how to live. As Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Your Heavenly Father wants you to have love, joy, and peace. And it's through the life of Jesus Christ that you can have all those abundant benefits and blessings. But what is the first step? How does one begin to turn his life around and begin to be rescued and saved from eternal death and to be saved from the lake of fire? Here's the direct answer from Jesus himself in Mark, the first chapter, and verse 14. The gospel writer here, Mark, says this, Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus said to repent and believe in the gospel. What gospel was it? The gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will rule on this earth with Jesus Christ as King of kings and Lord of lords. And the saints, faithful Christians, will be ruling with him over the nations. The world will eventually have that true peace under the world leadership and rulership of the Prince of Peace. That's good news. Be sure to watch every program of this series, and you'll begin to understand more fully what the kingdom of God really is. Now, the Apostle Peter also gave us instruction here in Acts, the second chapter, Acts 2, what action that we should take in our individual lives. On the day of Pentecost in 31 A.D., the Apostle Peter addressed several thousand people in Jerusalem. They were meeting in the temple area where worshipers were gathered for the Holy Day. God sent the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, and the apostles began to speak miraculously in the foreign languages of those visiting Jerusalem from all over the Mediterranean area. It was on the day of Pentecost that the Apostle Peter gave that first New Testament sermon. You'll find it in Acts, the second chapter. The audience heard the gospel, as it states in verse 11. They heard it, and they heard the wonderful works of God in their own languages. This was a miracle from God through the Holy Spirit. Peter then spoke of the death and resurrection of the promised Messiah. His message convicted the audience of their sin. Peter spoke to his audience in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? What do you hear preached today? Often you will hear the false statement, You don't have to do anything or change anything in your life. Just accept Jesus into your heart. Is that what Peter said? No. Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter boldly told everyone to repent. That means to turn around from sin and go the other way. It means to be sorry for your sins and to be determined to change from living in sin. It means to change your mind and your way of thinking. Yes, one must repent of sin. Sin, which is the transgression of God's law, the Ten Commandments. Notice in 1 John 3 and verse 4, God's inspired definition of sin. 1 John 3, verse 4, sin is the transgression of the law. That's the King James Version. But what else did Peter say one must do? He said one must be baptized. That means to be immersed in water. Baptism is symbolic of the sinner being buried into the death of Christ. Then coming up out of the water is symbolic of the resurrection and a commitment, as he says in Romans 6 and verse 4, to walk in newness of life. Isn't it incredible that so many preachers today say you don't have to be baptized? They reason that since baptism is a physical act like a ritual, certainly you don't have to be baptized. Frankly, that's human reasoning. Those who say it's not necessary to be baptized are in disagreement with God's Word, the Bible. After Peter preached his sermon on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 individuals were baptized, immersed in water. They demonstrated their faith in the sacrifice of Christ. That is the beginning step to being saved. Ultimate salvation is yet to come. That takes place at the resurrection when Christ returns. You read about that in the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. My friends, that's when you will be finally saved at the resurrection. There's much more you need to know about this vital subject of salvation. Be sure to tune into every program in the series. Now, to help you in your study of the Bible and this extremely important topic concerning your future, we'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program. Just pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy. Just ask for the audio tape entitled, Have You Been Saved? There's no cost or obligation. I hope that every one of you will begin to read your Bible daily, if you're not already in the habit of doing so. The Bible is the source of truth, the truth about life and death, the truth about your own salvation. We hope that today's program has helped you to see that biblical truth. Be sure to call or write today for your free audio cassette, Have You Been Saved?
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579, that's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
We invite you to study with us each and every week. Dr. Meredith and I will continue with these challenging topics from your Bible. So be sure to join us again next week, right here at this same time.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579, that's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.